church right now, because I want to really share my heart over these next few months. You're going to be hearing a lot of what I believe God's been showing us, and it's not spooky, it's not weird, it is biblical, and it's challenging. But I truly believe that God wants to show us, this church, how much expectation He has for us. He's got great expectations for this church, and that means you, because we are the church. Not that we're any better than any other church, and we're definitely not any worse than any other church, but we are a unique church. Otherwise, if we're not, then we might as well shut up shop. And we have a calling, and we have a vision, and we have a mission. And God has great expectations for us to do something that is going to bring change to this city and this nation and this generation for His kingdom's sake. And not only for this city, but also, understand, this nation and this generation. So it's, you know, it's the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is not just geographical, it's also generational when you have a look at it. And so it's not just to different, you know, towns and cities and countries and nations and people groups, but it's also to different generations. And we have different generations that are represented here. And God has great expectations for you. And so therefore, we're going to need more of God, because we're going to have to go beyond where we're at, business as usual, our safe zone. Are you with me? So when we say, you know, God, I want more of you, you got to understand that when you're singing that, you're praying a prayer that God is going to hear. He wants you to pray that, because He knows that in and of ourselves, we haven't got it. We're weak in areas that we need to be strong. But it's in our weakness when we exhibit that to Him and we come with honesty and integrity and we say, you know what, God, I really want to do your will. I know you've got great expectations for me. I don't just want to stay the same that I was, but I want to become everything that you want me to become. But in that, I need you. I need you. When we have that honesty and we have that integrity, then God hears and He supplies everything that we need. Praise the Lord. Are you ready? You ready for this year? Amen. Turn around and just do something to someone nice and then sit down. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. You never know what's going to happen in them times. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Let's take our seats and let's focus on me. Praise the Lord. Going to be starting a new series. It's going to be four themes. They're not just going to be four messages. There's four themes that I want us to look at for the next 3 months of the year at least. And I'm starting this series. It's called Join in the Dots. Join in the Dots. And what it's about is about putting the plan of God together for your life. There's going to be four things that we're going to be looking at, and four areas that when we have a good understanding of them, it's going to give us the direction and the clarity that can make all the difference in our lives between frustration and fulfillment. And I don't know about you, but I've had frustration in my life. Any of you have ever been frustrated in your life? How many of you growing up, you had a dream or something, it got frustrated, or you were growing up and there's been frustration in your life? Some of you, when you were teenagers, the frustration was positive. Because how many of you know, we can't get our own way all the time. Hello. But we want to be fulfilled. And God wants you to be fulfilled. So we're going to be looking at joining the dots, putting the plan together. Four areas that we're going to be looking at. And we're going to begin it today. And these areas are, I want you to note these down. We're going to be looking at these four areas for a while. And looking at them from different angles. And, you know, there's going to be different preachers coming. And we're going to be looking at these four areas. I believe these four areas are very, very key in our lives. And they are, number one, the vision. Number two, the vessel. Number three, the vehicle. And number four, the victory. And you're gonna see a lot of stuff start to open up from the Word of God and in your life, and it's gonna help us out so that we can fulfill the plan of God for our lives. How many of you want to fulfill the plan of God for your life? So we're gonna be looking today at the vision. Number one, the vision. The vision. Have you ever felt puzzled by what you're supposed to be doing in life? How many of you have ever been puzzled? Amen. We have, I think we have a slide. Is there a slide that we can put up? I want to show you this. Amen. That's kind of like a picture of life. There's a puzzle. And there's a box, and you have a box, and the box shows us the picture, but inside are the pieces. Amen. How many of you have ever been puzzled by trying to put the pieces of your life together, but you haven't seen the picture on the box? How many of you would attempt to do a puzzle, unless you were high, unless you were stoned? Amen. How many of you would attempt to do a puzzle when you just had a load of pieces, but you didn't know what it was meant to look like? Have you ever done that? Have you ever done that physically? You're a lunatic. He's tried to do that. And some of you, most of you, in fact, all of you, apart from Ricky, were sitting there saying, I would never do that. That's ridiculous. But you do that with your life. You live a life that is puzzling. And you try and put all the pieces together. And we're puzzled by what we're supposed to be doing in life and who we're supposed to be. Who is supposed to be in life? Are you with me? And one of the main reasons is that we live more by accident than on purpose. We seem to flow on the current of life rather than swim in the direction that we're meant to be going in. Am I speaking to anyone right now? Some of you may be, when you was a kid, you saw the box and you knew that you were going to be a doctor, a dentist, a lawyer, a butcher, a baker, or a candlestick maker. I don't know. But for most people, we don't have a vision of what it is that God wants for us to be. Am I talking to anyone right now? Wave your hand if you're starting to see where I'm going with this. God has a plan, and all we need to do is find it and fit into it. But how? The big question is how. Have you ever attempted to do a puzzle? Who's ever done a puzzle? Let me see your hands. Who's never done a puzzle? Let me see your hands. So how come some of you put your hand up for you've done it, and some of you kept your hand down, and you kept your hand down a second time? You must be puzzled. But the thing is, check this out. I really want you to catch this. That if you've ever done a puzzle, you know that the key thing is to have an idea of the picture on the box. Without it, you're going to end up being extremely frustrated. But when you've had that view, when you've seen that picture, when you've seen what the picture is supposed to look like, then you can start to make sense of all of the pieces, and you can start to put them in the right places. Are you catching what I'm saying right now? The picture on the box is known as vision. That's simply what it is. That's what vision is. Vision, when you hear vision, you hear that word vision. You hear that terminology, vision. You hear people speaking about vision. Basically and simply, all it is the picture on the box. God has a box with a picture on it, and he wants us to see the picture so that then we can put together all of the pieces of the puzzle of our lives. Are you catching this? I used to hear about vision all the time. Victory Outreach, this ministry that we're involved in, this movement, has often been described as a vision-driven ministry. You hear it said, you hear people speak about it. We're a vision-driven ministry. You hear a lot of the time about the vision of Victory Outreach. And, you know, we have a vision. And sometimes people don't understand what that means, or it doesn't resonate with them, or they haven't caught the concept of it, because quite simply, they haven't understood that all that is that we have a picture. God has shown us the picture on the box that he wants this ministry to fulfill. That's very simply all it is. We're a vision-driven ministry because we have a strong view of what God wants us to focus on in this world. Our vision, and here it is. This is the vision of Victory Outreach in a nutshell. Our vision is to work with people. There it is. Our vision is to reach out to and work with people from any background. You don't have to have just been a drug addict, but if you have been a drug addict, then we'll reach out to you. But even if you've been a doctor or a lawyer, or even if you're a professional or a business owner, or you're a family member, or you're a husband or a wife, if you're a person, then you're part of our vision. We're not into ticking boxes. We're not into just doing programs. We're into reaching people, real people, that have real problems and real questions, and that we can give them real answers so that we can see them being the real people that God wants them to be and really doing what it is that he wants them to do. Can someone say amen? That's what it is. We want to reach people, we want to teach people, and we want to help them become the people that God sees them as. People of faith, people of character, people of excellence, the best that they can be for God. Doesn't matter about your history. We want you to be able to start to see your destiny. It don't matter where you've come from. We want you to see where God wants to take you to. It don't matter whether you've been puzzled or whether your life has been in pieces. We want you to understand that God has a plan that wants to put all those pieces together so that there is a coherent, that there is an intelligent, that there is a fulfilled picture of your life for you to walk into. We believe that. We want that. We want to see people make a difference in this world for God. And for good, so that we please him. That's our God-given vision. And that includes you, and it includes me. So vision is about being able to see the picture on the box. That's really what it is. And when you can do that, it's going to help you to know what's going to be ahead of you. Are you with me? Like you've done a puzzle, you've seen the picture on the box, you have a look, you know that, you know, there's a tree. So that green bit, maybe that goes in the tree. Imagine there's a palm tree on a sandy beach. You know that if it's yellow, it's going to go on the beach. If it's green, it's going to go in the leaves. And if it's a brown bit, it might be bark, unless there's someone who's sunbathing. Hello. So you can start to see what's ahead of you and know what bit goes where. It's about knowing where you're going. So that you know, some of you know, without vision, you ain't going to know where you're going, number one. And even if you start going somewhere, you're not going to know whether you're near that place. Amen? And you don't even know if you're actually in that place. And also what vision does, even more vital, is it helps you to know if you're off course and not getting any closer to your goal. Because maybe you're creating a picture that is not on the box. And some of them tricky little bits of the puzzle, maybe they fit together, but they're coming up with some random looking thing. A tree with legs. What is that? But sometimes that's how our life pans out. We end up as trees walking. We end up as, you know, we've got this, oh yeah, I'm doing what God wants for my life. And you end up with some, you know, some random looking thing in your life. That's not what God wants. God has a picture for our lives, and he wants us to see it. He wants us to look at it. He wants us to find out what it is so that then we can start putting all those pieces of the puzzle together. When you have vision, you know what fits and where and in what order, and that helps. So we're going to look at the example of a man of God called Paul in the Bible. I want you to turn into the book of Acts chapter 9. We're going to look very quickly at the example of the Apostle Paul. And we're going to be reading from verse 1 through verse 20. I'm going to read it out, and then we're going to look at what we can learn about vision from what happened to the life of Paul. And then we're going to start applying it to our own life. Verse 1, we take on the story in the book of Acts. The church has developed. We've been going through the gears. We've seen the gears develop in the previous series that we did about how the church began to operate and how it began to develop, and the things that they put in first and the things that they started to utilize so that they could maintain momentum and that they could grow. And we start getting into a point now in the biblical account where the church is on the rise, the church is moving, but then it starts facing a little bit of opposition. And we enter the story with a man by the name of Saul. Saul was a Pharisee. He was a religious person. He was someone that thought that he was doing God's will. Watch this. Verse 1, it takes on the story. It says, meanwhile, the church is growing, the church is moving, things are taking place, it's expanding, it's going all different directions. But there's a little bit of persecution. And then Saul pops up. It says, meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way. That's what they used to call Christianity, the way. Any followers of the way that he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. And the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground. Verse 8. But when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he replied. The Lord said, go over to Straight Street, to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again. But Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. And he is authorized by the leading priests to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. But the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel. Verse 16, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. Afterward, he ate some food and regained his strength. Saul stayed with the believers in Damascus for a few days and immediately he began preaching about Jesus in the synagogue, saying he is indeed the Son of God. We can learn some great lessons from this example. I want to show us 3 lessons from this example about vision right now. Number 1, what we can learn from this example, and this is something that we really need to take on board, and some of you need to get a hold of this. The first thing is that Paul was consumed with his own vision. He was consumed with his own vision. When his name was Saul, he was consumed with his own vision. Funny thing is, he thought that he was doing what he was supposed to be doing by persecuting the followers of Jesus. He was a religious man, and all of a sudden this sect had grown up around this crucified wrongdoer, according to him, by the name of Yeshua, Jesus, from Galilee. And all of a sudden, Paul was, you know, he was part of a posse that wanted to do good. And he was consumed with a vision for putting this thing down. And he thought that he was doing the right thing. But in trying to do what he thought was good, he ended up by persecuting and opposing the Son of God. That's heavy. Because he was consumed with his own vision. He had a picture in his mind of what the puzzle needed to look like of his life. But it was a picture that was in his own mind. It was in his own heart. It was his own perception. It was his own vision. Are you catching this? And he was looking at what he thought his life needed to look like. And in doing so, instead of it coming together and fulfilling the plan of God for his life, it was actually frustrating the plan of God for his life. Oh, watch this. Man, I wish I had more time to go into that. How often have we done that? How often have we, in thinking that we know what our life needs to look like, ended up frustrating the plan of God for us? But our visions for our lives look so pure. They seem so right. It looks as if we know what it is that God wants me to do. I'm going to go down this path. I'm going to do this. I'm going to give everything to this. But in doing so, what you actually end up doing is you end up frustrating the plan of God for your life, and you wonder why you're always frustrated in your life. But this is good, this is right. It might be good, but is it God? We have to be careful that we don't come up with a completely different picture than the one that the Creator intended for our lives. Because if our vision is not for Christ, then ultimately it is against Christ. Number two. God wanted to show him the real picture. See, I've said that, and all of a sudden, some of you are twitching in your seat. It's gone really quiet, and it's one of those holy quiet times when you're actually thinking, aren't you? You're like, oh my goodness, what have I been doing with my life? And the reason why is when that conviction comes is because somewhere deep down inside of yourself, you know what it is the picture looks like, but you've looked at a different box. You've just been focusing on a different box. But there, alongside it somewhere, is a picture that God is showing you. He's trying to show you what he wants for your life. But sometimes we ignore it because to change direction is going to mean that it costs us something. Oh, watch this. It's going to take you out of your comfort zone. It's going to take you out of your safe area. It's going to take you out of the place of your expectation, maybe your family's expectation, maybe society's expectation for you. And it's going to take you into a place where you're going to start getting persecuted. Ooh. Pastor, don't go there. I ain't going there. I ain't God. I can't see inside your life. But God can, and God wants to show you the real picture. God wanted to show Saul the real picture. God had a specific plan for Paul's life. He has a specific plan for you and me too, and he wants to show us what it is. But before, watch this, man. This is deep. But before Paul, Saul, could truly see God's vision for his life, he had to lose his own vision. And that's what happened. He saw Jesus, and all of a sudden he was struck blind. Sometimes when you actually see the plan that God has for your life, something's going to happen to you. All of a sudden, all of your hopes and dreams and the expectations, ambitions and agendas that you have within your life, all of a sudden they start getting blurry and fuzzy and things start to look different. Oh, you ain't going there. I'm going there. I'm compelled by the Spirit of God to go there. He was struck blind. Imagine, all of a sudden, there was this man who was so fixed and focused on what it is that he was doing. He was so zealous. He tells us later in the epistles how zealous he was He was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. He was the righteous one. He was this and he was that. Hebrew of the Hebrews, the tribe of Benjamin and all that. He was a top bot in his field. He was someone that was making it in his field. He was growing in his field. He was on a trajectory, a career path, a career plan in his field. And then all of a sudden, all of a sudden, instead of being the man of power for the hour, he had to be led by the hand by someone else. He couldn't see where he was going anymore. All of a sudden, everything was zeroed. And he was blind and weak and helpless. And you know what? Many people don't want to meet up with Jesus in that way. Many people, they say, oh God, give me vision. All they want to do is come to church and sit in a seat and tick a box. All they want to do is tick a little religious box that says, I just want my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't even care if I get there with a smoky trousers. Come on now. I don't care if I don't care about the crown. I just want to be there. But God, that's not the picture on the box. God's plan for you is not that you just escape by the flames, man. He was struck blind. It was when all distractions had been dealt with that Paul was able to see the picture on the box of his future. The thing is, though, check this out. The overall trajectory of his life was the same. He was going to be the best at what he was going to be. But instead of be the best antichrist, against his life was going to be an antichrist type of life. An antichrist literally means against Christ. Amen. He was going to be someone for Christ. And he was going to live for Christ. But God had to strike him blind so that he couldn't see anymore. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever come to that place where all of a sudden, where you thought you was going and where you thought your trajectory was taking you and where you thought it was all mapped out and where you thought that it was all planned out, all of a sudden, it goes a little bit weird and a little bit wonky and you're like, God, where are you? Oh no, is this real? Oh, this is too difficult. Oh my goodness, what's happening to me? It might be that God's trying to get a hold of your life. It might be that he wants to change that viewpoint. It might be that he wants to start to put those bits of the puzzle together. Some of you know, you might have even got part of the picture together, but you've in the life that you're living right now, but it might be that you've got a load of extra little bits. Where do they fit? And you just park them up in a little pile in the corner. Come on now. You end up with this random looking picture. But God has a perfect picture for your life. I'm not talking out of the, you know, side of me neck here. I'm talking about what God does in people's lives. Number three. Third thing we can learn. God uses others to bring confirmation of his plans for our lives. God uses others. Ananias was just an ordinary man. Doesn't say that he was a super Christian, a super apostle. It doesn't say anything. But he was a believer. But guess what? When you're a believer, that's enough. When you're a follower of Christ and Christ knows your name and he knows who you are, then that's enough. Expect to be used. Expect to be used. Don't just think that you've got to be the pastor, the pastor's wife, the worship leader or up on the pulpit for God to use your life. You just have to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You have to be sold out to him. You have to have had your sins covered. You have to be filled with his spirit. Your name needs to be in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if that is so, then the God of all eternity wants to use your life. Ananias was just doing his thing. He was just doing his thing. And all of a sudden, Jesus spoke to him. And then the Lord used him to bring confirmation and understanding to Paul in a way that Paul was unable to bring about himself. Sometimes you might be there and you might be struggling to find that one key piece. And then someone else just comes in and goes, oh, that's the bit you're looking for. Boom. And then it just opens up the rest of the picture to you. You're like, wow, it's been staring me right in the face. But I was blind and I couldn't see it.
And then someone else comes in and they give you a word, or they give you a confirmation, or they just speak out a scripture and they don't even know what they're saying, or they pray for you, or something happens, and then all of a sudden that missing piece just turns up. That's why it's so important that we meet together, we gather together, we worship together, we work together, we pray together, we break bread together, we stick together, we stay together, we trust each other, we have relationship with each other. Come on now. Ananias just went in obedience to Christ, even though he thought this guy's a lunatic. He's a nutter. Why should I go to that person? You know, they're so fixed and focused, they're so career-minded, they're so money-minded. They're so, you know, they're just locked into the, they just want to get married. They ain't going to listen to nothing. They're going to do anything. They just want to get a job. They just want to get a career. They just want to advance. How can I speak to them? They're so fixed and focused. But Lord, this soul, he's like a lunatic. I ain't going to, what am I? Just go. I've shown him a vision. Someone's going to help him out. I'm going to show him what the picture looks like. And I'm going to use you to help him out. That's what God does. And Ananias went and he laid hands on Paul. And the Bible says that something like scales fell away from his eyes so that he could see again. When that happens in our lives, all the things that obscure our vision of God's future for us, our distractions, our selfishness, our personal ambitions, our rights, our own thought processes, all of those things, they fall away. And then what is left is something that is just simply available to God. Some of you know, God's more concerned with people that are available than people that think they're able. He just wants a willing vessel. He don't care if you've got a degree. He don't care if you never finished school. He don't care if you've got money or no money. He don't care if you're good looking or you're, you know, you're one of them people that's not pretty and it's not ugly. It's kind of in between, pretty ugly. He don't really care. He just wants someone that is available, someone that can see the picture and is looking at the picture, someone that all the distractions have fallen away, the expectations and the ambitions and the agenda and themselves. And they just stand there and they're like, poof. God, what do you want? Just like ours do, Paul's eyes opened. But this time, his vision included God's plan, not just his own plan. The puzzle of his life could be put together because he now had a vision of what it needed to look like. Still took time, still took effort. Grace is not opposed to working, someone said. It is just opposed to earning. See, the thing is, under grace, you still got to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. But it is God who works in you to will and to do according to his good purpose. You still got to put your feet on the floor. You still got to put your hand to the plow. You still got to go forward. You still got to be disciplined. You still got to do that stuff. You still got to come away from the old and enter into the new. You still got to plow forward, press in and do all of that stuff. That's not opposed to grace. In fact, it can only be done through grace. Still took time, it took effort, it took sacrifice. We know the things that Paul went through. He didn't know it at the time, but trust me, Jesus showed him and he counted the cost. The beatings, the whippings, the shipwrecks, all of those things, Paul counted the cost and poured out his life because he saw the picture on the box. He had a heavenly vision and he was not disobedient to it. Took time, it took effort, but because he had vision, he was ultimately successful. And so will you be if you see and follow God's vision for your life. As one writer put it, the vision that God gives is not some unattainable castle in the sky, but a vision of what God wants you to be down here. He has a plan for your life that isn't just something for eternity, there is that, but it is something that he wants you to put your feet and your hands and your mind and your heart to right now, because it is a vision for his world. We'll end up by putting some pieces of vision together. God has a vision. Check this out. God has a vision that his kingdom will be established here on earth. It began with Adam. Adam lost sight of it through his disobedience. But then Jesus restored that vision through his obedience. And then he commissioned his followers to be his church, his people, his assembly, that would go into all the world and teach people to believe in him and follow him and do his will by spreading the good news of reconnection or salvation everywhere that they go. And that's where me and you come in, because that's us. So God's vision, the vision of the church, the ministry, and your vision should all dovetail and all be going in the same direction. And it might be that your vision was for a tree. It might be that the church's vision was for a beach. But God's vision sees the sky and the beach and the tree and all of it all put together in one great, big, beautiful, wonderful, incredible, amazing picture. And it's all part of the same box. So what part of the puzzle does God want you to solve? What piece does he want you to put in? What part does he want you to play? Over these next few weeks and these next few months, God is going to begin to show people the picture on the box for your life. I want us to stand. I want the worship team to come back, but I want to let you know this. We're going to close right now. I want you to know this. Please stand. Keep focused. Keep fixed. This is very important that you understand this. If you've heard this word today, I want you to understand the picture on the box for this church. The picture on the box is that you right here, right now, you within the sound of my voice, you listening to this over a podcast, you hearing this, that you are not an accident. You are not an also-ran. You are not ignored. You are not set aside or left on a shelf. God does not want you to live frustrated. He has a plan for your life that when you see it and when you step into it and when you interact with it, you will be fulfilled. That plan includes that some of you in this place, you will be the best in your field. You will be movers and shakers in this world. God is raising up entrepreneurs, people that are going to be at the forefront of medical breakthrough, people that are going to help and enhance other people's lives through their care. There are going to be people that through their creativity are going to enhance and bless other people throughout this world. There are people that are going to be raised up. There are going to be rich people that rise up from this congregation, but they're not going to be rich, so they're just running around doing their own thing and buying 15 cars for themselves. No, they're going to be rich so they can resource. But then also, God is going to raise some of you up, and you're not going to stay in this place. He's going to send you. He's going to launch you. He's going to raise up pastors and pastors' wives. He's going to raise up teachers that are going to be able to break down the Word of God in a way that even a child could understand the most complicated things that are there in the Word of God. He's going to raise up evangelists that are going to go out and they're going to reach out with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's going to raise up prophets that are going to go and they're going to share the plan of God to a lost, blind, and broken world. He's going to raise up missionaries that are going to go to different nations. There's going to be church planters that come from this place. You're going to go to different cities. Close your eyes, the eyes of your flesh right now, and let God begin to open up the eyes of your heart. Father, I pray that you would start to show us in these next months of this year, oh God, start to show us a vision for the future so that we're not just looking at the pain or the problems, or even the achievements of the past, oh God. We don't want to live there. We want to live now with you, but we want to see tomorrow so that we can prepare for it right now today. Show us the price. Show us the cost. May we count it, and may we be found worthy on that day. Lord, that we would be fulfilled in answering the call for this generation, for this time, this season, this city. Show us the picture. We give you the glory. Come on, just take 1 minute before we close right now. Just be honest with God. Speak to him. Speak to him like Saul. Who are you, Lord?